Exodus chapter 2, verses 15 to 25. We've seen Moses presenting himself to his people. Clearly he thought, he knew that he was to be the leader that would rescue Israel from Egypt. But the Israelites had rejected him. The Egyptians, too, were turning on him. And so in fear, he ran away. And he fled from Pharaoh. And he went to the desert to live in Midian. And we find him in verse 15, sitting down by a well. Now, whatever Moses' attitude was when he presented himself to Israel, whether he was proud, overconfident, I don't get that impression, but it may just be whether he thought he could do it and he had the ability and the calling for it and he was sufficient for it. I don't get that impression altogether, but maybe it was there, but God was going to knock it out of him. But whatever the reason for all this, and God's purposes are inscrutable, God was leading, so this Egyptian prince, who really was a Hebrew, was now in the desert, sitting down by a well. And a strange providence comes. A priest of Midian, Reuel or Jethro, had 7 daughters. They came to fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Apparently there had been some trouble here, and other shepherds had stopped them, and it had been difficult for them. But Moses interfered this day, and he defended them and protected them, and so they went home early. "How did you get here so early?" the father asked. "Well, this Egyptian, he rescued us. Bring him home. What are you doing leaving him out there?" One thing led to another. And this man employed Moses. Moreover, he gave him one of his daughters, Zipporah, to Moses in marriage. And Moses had a son by Zipporah, Gershom. And that's significant because that name means an alien. An alien there. Moses was an alien. He wasn't an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. Midian wasn't his land, nor Egypt. It was Canaan. But here he was, in loneliness, you might say, in the desert, in the wilderness, a nobody. "I have become an alien in a foreign land." If it was that, as has been said, that the first 40 years of his life Moses was thinking he was a somebody, the next 40, and that's what's going on here, is all telescoped. During that long period, Moses was finding out he was a nobody. But very soon now, he's going to find out what God will do in the next 40 years, the last 40 years of his life, what God can do with a nobody. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery. They cried out, and God heard their cry. But the one who was undertaking the covenant promise, I can't see that Israel was understanding it or thinking much of it, but perhaps they were, but I don't get that impression. But I know that God was. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So, because of this covenant, God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. And this is what's going on here. With all these tiny, seemingly unconnected events, God is working out his sovereign, eternal covenant purpose in redemption. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, Moses, David, and above all, of course, and the ultimate, to which is all leading, the great seed himself of the covenant, Christ, and the new covenant, and the gospel, and the everlasting salvation of all the elect throughout the world. And these little events, Moses presenting himself, Moses being rejected, Moses in the wilderness, in the desert, this loneliness, this emptiness, is all combining together because God is combining it to bring about his eternal covenant purpose. The history of redemption is being worked out here. And one day kings will have to bow and submit to Moses leading Israel out of Egypt into, well, virtually up to the promised land. Isaiah 49 verse 23, kings and queens will have to bow down. One day, my friend, everybody will have to bow the knee, have to submit to and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's the purpose that's being worked out here. Of course, these small events must seem hopeless, unconnected, purposeless to those involved. Take Moses' parents. They had hidden this child. They've died by now, probably, and it's all come to nothing. But no, these little specks of action have tremendous effects. The text that strikes me is, cast your bread upon the water, for after many days it will return. And by that I am moved to cast these little discourses out onto the ocean of the internet. Where will they go? Will one person hear them, find something, maybe this discourse today, and this tiny little discussion, discourse on this passage, this obscure event with Moses for 40 years in the wilderness, maybe that will, in some years to come, that I'll never live to see in this life, will come to some fruition. Who knows? 1 Peter 4 verse 19, if we're suffering according to the will of God, let us cast ourselves upon our Creator. He's working his purpose out. Brother and sister, I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to encourage myself. Go labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Master's will. It is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. The Master praises. What are men? That's Horatius Bonner. Let us go on laboring for God, however small the events. You mothers bringing up your children, preaching, teaching, witnessing to neighbors, bearing a testimony, writing something, encouraging people, whatever it is in the gospel, pointing sinners to Christ. It may seem to fail. Moses could have said it's all hopeless. I had thought that you would do this. I had thought that you would make me the leader of Israel. But now I'm sitting by a well in Midian, minding sheep, menial tasks. What purpose is this? But in God's good time, my friend, his purpose is going to come to fruition. Hear it again. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked down on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Israel may have hoped for the new Pharaoh, but no, there was no release. And things are going to get darker even yet. But do not judge the Lord by feeble sense. You see, he's working his purpose out. And let us go on today, brother and sister. You go on today, my friend. Do what you can for Jesus, however small. One day, you may discover that small seeming failure of an event has been part and parcel of the everlasting purpose of God. May God bless us in our labors, brothers and sisters. And may we go on to serve our Lord Jesus Christ, however feebly. May we cast our might into the treasury. May God be pleased to turn it to his will, to his glory. The little lad, when he had the loaves and fishes, well, What could they be among so many? Yeah. But what were they? May we do what we can. And may God give the increase. May we sow the seed and water it. May the Lord God give the increase. Amen.